Hello there! Hope you're doing well, because we're about to start. My name is John Backus, and I'm excited to introduce you to our programs. Speaking of introducing, don't just keep this whole thing to yourself. Try bringing your friends along. Everything is a lot more fun with friends. Our first program, Let's Read the Bible, will help us hear his words and teach us to read the Bible on our own. And after that is a pretty awesome series called Unlocked. It's a devotional program for teens. Our next program, Children's Bible Drama, will use our imagination to portray characters from the Bible. And last, but certainly not least, Daily Devotional will wrap up the broadcast. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yuna Kang. I'm the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. Among Christian doctrines, there is a theory called supersessionism, or replacement theory. It asserts that the church from the New Testament replaced Israel from the Old Testament. At first glance, this claim may seem to be right. Israel rejected Jesus the Messiah. These people killed Jesus by nailing him on the cross. Afterwards, Israel was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD, and the Jews were scattered all over the world, which made it seem as if they disappeared. On the other hand, Christianity gradually spread, and it spread all throughout Europe. Many people heard the gospel and experienced the grace of becoming a child of God. It really seemed as if God abandoned the Israelites and instead selected others to receive the grace. In case someone had a question like this, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 11, verse 1, "So here's what I ask. Did God turn his back on his people? Not at all." Then he continues by telling a story about the prophet Elijah. The prophet Elijah cried before the Lord and said that all of the Israelites left God to serve Baal, and so there would not be any Israelites that would serve him if he was killed by the Israelites. God tells Elijah that this was not true. God explains that he kept 7,000 Israelites who served him that Elijah did not know about. Like this, although it seemed as if Israel disappeared in the history, God kept Israelites who were going to receive salvation. However, there is one thing that we must clearly understand. Just because someone is an Israelite or Jewish does not mean that he or she will automatically be saved, nor does it mean that the country of Israel will receive salvation. In Elijah's time, there were many Israelites that abandoned God to serve Baal, but they did not get saved. The 7,000 that did not kneel before Baal were given grace by God. The same is true for Israel afterwards. Those who believe in him will be saved by God's grace. God will keep the promise he made with Abraham, and he will save the descendants of Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, we have already discussed that Abraham is not only the ancestor of Jews, but also the ancestor of the uncircumcised. God will always keep his promise. In 1948, more than 1900 years after Israel was destroyed by Rome, the scattered Jews gathered on the Mediterranean coast and re-established the country of Israel. God did not replace the church with only Israel. Instead, he will make Israel and the Gentiles into one body. This will be the completion of God's salvation. I hope that we will believe in God who always keeps his promises. Now, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please give us grace so that we can believe in God who keeps all his promises that he once made. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, Katie Choi from California will read the book of Romans, chapter 11, verses 1 through 12 from NIRB. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Hello, my name is Katie Cho, and I'm 10 years old, and I live in La Habra, California. Today, I'm going to read Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 12. Let's read the Bible. So here's what I ask. Did God turn his back on his people? Not at all. I myself belong to Israel, I'm one of Abraham's children. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. God didn't turn his back on his people. After all, he chose them. Don't you know what scripture says about Elijah? He complained to God about Israel. He said, Lord, they have killed your prophets. They have torn down your altars. I'm the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. How did God answer him? God said, I have kept 7,000 people for myself. They have not bowed down to Baal. Some are also faithful today. They have been chosen by God's grace. And if they are chosen by grace, then they can't work for it. If that were true, grace wouldn't be grace anymore. What should we say then? The people of Israel did not receive what they wanted so badly. Those Israelites who were chosen did receive it. But the rest of the people were made stubborn. It is written, God made it hard for them to understand. He gave them eyes that could not see, and he gave them ears that could not hear. And they are still like that today. David says, let their feast be a trap and a snare. Let them trip and fall. Let them guess what's coming to them. Let their eyes grow dark so they can't see. Let their backs be bent forever. Again, here is what I ask. The Israelites didn't trip and fall once and for all time, did they? Not at all. Because Israel sinned, the Gentiles can be saved. That will make Israel jealous of them. Israel sinned brought riches to the world. Their loss brings riches to the Gentiles. So then what greater riches will come when all Israel turns to God? This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for loving us and not turning your back on us. Thank you for being faithful to us even though when we sin. Please help us to not worship other gods but worship you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Here's a program called Unlocked, Part 1, provided by Keys for Kids Ministries.
How do you respond when someone does you wrong? Hey there, Emily Tenter here. Welcome to Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Few things take more self-control than responding graciously to someone who wrongs you. How do we do it? Where can we find the strength to not respond with frustration, hurt, and anger? It's what we're talking about in our devotion today. It's called Doing Good to Others, and it was written by Jendai Owens. When people do wrong to us, what is the first thing we want to do to them? Usually, it's not something good. But as Christians, we know that God loves us with an enormous love, and He also calls us to love others. even when people do wrong to us, we do not have the right to do wrong to them. Why? Because we did wrong to God. We sinned against Him again and again, and we still do. Because God is the source of all goodness, He requires justice, payment for all the wrong we have done. Yet, because He loves us, God was willing to pay for our wrongs Himself by sending His own Son, Jesus, to die the death we all deserve. Jesus, who never did any wrong, let Himself be killed in our place. Then He rose from the dead and defeated sin and death. When Jesus comes again, He will right every wrong, and whoever has put their trust in Jesus will live with Him forever. His forgiveness means that sin no longer separates us from God. So how do forgiven followers of Jesus live? When someone asked Jesus which of God's commands is the most important, Jesus said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Matthew 22:34-40. And when He says neighbor, He means everybody, including our enemies. Luke 6:35. If we say, "I love God," but hate someone who is a part of God's family, we are not being truthful. 1 John 4:20. Instead of hating, God calls us to do good to other people, especially those in God's family. Galatians 6:10. At the very least, this means we don't harm people. And at the very best, we create ways for everyone to be included as we follow Jesus alongside each other. Most of us have both positive and negative feelings toward the people we love. While it may not be easy to get along, we should always respect, encourage, and be kind to one another. Jesus said everyone would know that we are His disciples if we love one another. John 13:35. Love is important for everybody and anybody. God loves the whole world. John 3:16. And as Jesus' forgiven followers, we have His Holy Spirit in us, empowering us to love people like God loves us. When our hearts are full of God's love, there is no room for hate. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love each other because He first loved us." So let's talk about this. When is it hard for you to love others? How might remembering God's love for you and for the people around you help in these times? Loving others isn't always easy, but we have help and encouragement within the pages of God's Word. Check out Galatians 6:1-10 and 1 John 4:19-20 in your Bible on your own today to keep God's Word alive in your life. Thanks so much for joining me today for this episode of Unlocked. Do you have a friend who would benefit from using a devotional resource like Unlocked? How can you share the Unlocked devotional with them this week? We want to encourage others to be in God's Word each day and help you in any way we can. So tell your friends about us. Hey, that's it for me. Until next time, I'm Emily, encouraging you to live your life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Stay tuned for Unlocked Part 2. Provided by Keys for Kids Ministries.
Do you struggle with shame, wondering how or why God would ever want to use you? Hey there, Emily Tenter here, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Shame can be a huge roadblock in our life, preventing us from experiencing good things that God has for us. So what can be done about it? How do we overcome it? Well, we're talking about that today. Our story is called Struggling with Shame, and it was written by Emily Acker. The Bible features stories of imperfect people, just like us, interacting with Jesus. The woman at the well, the man on the cross next to Jesus, these people were seen by a holy God, and they were recognized as people worthy of His attention. When we mess up, we feel the need to hide from God. Some of us never want to go back to Him because we feel too guilty. We may even feel like the mistakes we've made have created a separation between us and God that can never be repaired. What is it that makes us think we are somehow worse than those people in the Bible? Even though they did wrong, they were found by Jesus and He offered them hope. What makes us feel like the sins we've done are somehow worse than the other sins that caused Jesus to be nailed to the cross? Satan uses shame to try to create distance between us and God, but Satan is a liar. There is nothing we can do that can push us out of the reach of Jesus and His love. His forgiveness is too big. It was our sin that Jesus took on the cross. His death paid for it all, and when He rose from the dead, He conquered sin and death forever. He offers us new life, free from sin and shame. His grace is always available to us. Jesus sees us, and we don't have to hide from him. Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." So let's talk about this. Do you struggle with shame, feeling like you're inherently bad or worthless? How does God offer hope through Jesus? Maybe check out Psalm 34:5 to answer that question. Do you feel like certain things you've done make you unforgivable? If you've put your trust in Jesus, you are totally forgiven and forever a part of his family. If you have questions about what that means to be part of God's family, who's a trusted Christian in your life you could talk to about it? Maybe a pastor, parent, leader, or friend? And then do some reading on your own today. Check out Luke 23:32 through 43 and John 4:13 through 26 to keep God's word alive in your life. Thanks so much for being here for this episode of Unlocked, a production of Keys for Kids Ministries. Keys for Kids is a listener and reader-supported ministry, which means we couldn't do what we do without the incredible generosity of people just like you. If you'd like to support us in our mission to reach kids, teens, and families with the gospel of Jesus, you can make a donation on our website, keysforkids.org/donate. Thanks again for being here. Don't forget to come back tomorrow because Andrew is going to be reading a devotion about what modesty really means, and you don't want to miss it. Until next time, I'm Emily, encouraging you to live your life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, this is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. There shall be showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. There shall be showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need.
Mercy drops round us are falling,
but for the showers we plead.
Coming up next is Children's Bible Drama.
Hello everyone, it's June from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Jephthah was the oldest son of Gilead, who was also the leader of the region named Gilead. Since a son born of a concubine cannot gain an inheritance, the elders of Gilead urged the sons of Gilead to drive Jephthah out of the region. Eventually, Jephthah didn't receive an inheritance and was driven out of the region of Gilead. He went to a land called Tob and lived there. However, the people who drove out Jephthah came to him and pleaded with him to be their general.
Jephthah, We are sorry about what happened in the past. Please forgive us and be our general and lead us in the battle with the Ammonites. If you can do that, we will make you the head of Gilead.
Is that true? If I go with you and fight the Ammonites, then you will make me the head? Can I believe what you say?
Yes, yes, of course. We swear before God, we will surely make you our head.
Since you promise before God, I'll believe you and do as you say.
Jephthah went down to Gilead with the elders. When he arrived at Gilead, the people of Gilead welcomed him. As promised, the elders made Jephthah the head and commander of Gilead.
People of Gilead! Jephthah has succeeded his father Gilead and became the head and commander of Gilead. Now let's promise our allegiance to Jephthah.
When Jephthah became the head of Gilead as promised, he gave thanks to God.
God, thank you for bringing back to my hometown and allowing me to succeed my father in becoming the head of this region. God, since you have placed me here, I will now fight the Ammonites who are tormenting our people. God, please be with me.
After Jephthah prayed to God, he sent a messenger to the king of Ammon.
King of Ammon, why have you come to attack my land?
The king of Ammon sent a messenger to Jephthah.
When you Israelites came out of Egypt and entered this land of Canaan, you took all the land away from us. Our ancestors were weak and the land was taken, but I have come to take back the land.
Jephthah sent a messenger to the king again.
You do not know the history of what happened. Our ancestors did not take the land of your ancestors. When our ancestors came up out of Egypt, you were under the control of the Amorites. Therefore, our ancestors didn't gain your land, but the land of the Amorites. Furthermore, our ancestors didn't take away the land. Our ancestors asked the Amorites for permission to pass through that land. Our ancestors made the request to King of Edom and the King of Moab, your relative, but no one would listen to our ancestors' request. Therefore, our ancestors attacked all these tribes. Our Lord God gave all the tribes who did such an evil act into our hands and drove them out of our land. Therefore, we have received this land from our God. Aren't you also living in the land your God has given you? Therefore, do not fight with us, but return home. Our God will judge who did right or wrong between us.
The king of Ammon, however, paid no attention to the message Jephthah sent him.
Jephthah, you have no fear. I'll punish you today. Everyone, get ready for battle!
Yes!
At that moment, God's spirit came to Jephthah. Jephthah led his army and went forward to fight the Ammonites. But as he went into battle, Jephthah made a vow to God.
God, if you give the Ammonites into my hands, whoever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering. Therefore, please let me have victory.
Jephthah didn't believe that God had already given the battle over to his hand. Therefore, he made an unnecessary vow to God. Furthermore, it was a vow God did not desire because God did not want him to sacrifice a person as a burnt offering. Unfortunately, Jephthah promised that he would give a sacrifice to God in the same manner the Canaanites gave sacrifices to their God. Despite this, God gave the Ammonites into Jephthah's hand as he planned, and there was great victory. Jephthah and the soldiers were rejoicing while returning home. Then the door of Jephthah's house opened and a person came out. Who was it? I'll see you next time from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Goodbye.
Wouldn't you like to listen to Daily Devotional again? If you go to our homepage, you can find Daily Devotional Summary and listen again by playing the file. Please visit www.heartandsoul.org. That is www.heartandseoul.org and click Listen at the top of the page. Then scroll down to Daily Devotional Guide. If you have any questions, please call us at 602-866-8999. Thank you!
Get ready for a program called Daily Devotional, provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. From Monday to Friday, we will listen to each day's Daily Devotional. I hope you listen to each devotional during the week. Now, let's start with Monday's Daily Devotional.
Juliana's Sunday school teacher said no one's good enough to get to heaven, but I don't agree with that.
God can't let any sin into heaven, even a little bit. If you're not made perfect, you can't get in. Thanks for joining me here on listener-supported Keys for Kids. My name is Zach. Many people believe if they do more good things than bad things, they'll go to heaven. But God doesn't judge us that way. He can't let any sin into heaven at all. Like Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The only way to get into heaven is if you get rid of all your sins, and you can't do that. But here's the good news. Jesus died, and his sacrifice has taken care of all your sin as long as you just accept him. Our story today is called Nobody's Perfect. Ariel shrugged when she missed her basketball shot. "Oh, well, nobody's perfect," she said, and the other girls laughed. "Nobody's perfect" had become a phrase Ariel used often, and her friends almost knew ahead of time when they would hear it again. One day, Ariel went to church with her friend Juliana. "That was interesting," Ariel said as they walked home afterward. "But I don't agree with everything Mrs. Gates said. According to her, no matter how good you are, you're not good enough for heaven. I don't believe that." "But that's what the Bible says," said Juliana. "The Bible says everyone does wrong things. Everyone's a sinner. But Jesus took the punishment for our sins, and the only way we can have eternal life is by trusting in him." "Well, Mrs. Gates makes it sound like everybody's such a terrible sinner, and that's silly," insisted Ariel. "I've never done anything really bad. And what about people like my Uncle Jason? He's always helping others. He's a volunteer firefighter, and he also gives lots of money to places like the Cancer Society and the homeless shelter. And last year when he... Suddenly, she stopped. Oh, I'm so busy talking, I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing. We just passed my street. Ariel laughed at herself. Oh, well, nobody's perfect. No, and that's what God says, too. He says we're not perfect. We've all sinned by doing things that are wrong, replied Juliana. Even though what you've done doesn't seem so bad to you, God doesn't see it that way. We all have sin in our hearts, and because God is perfect and holy, no sin can enter heaven. So no matter how many good things you or your uncle do, it doesn't get you any closer to heaven. You still have to get rid of your sin, and only Jesus can take it away. Unlike us, he is perfect, and we need to trust in him in order to be saved. Ariel was thoughtful as she turned and headed down her street. I have to get home, she said. But let's talk about it more later, okay? Gladly, Juliana nodded. So how about you? Are you fit for heaven? No lying, disobedience, cheating, gossip, or any other sin can enter heaven. Did you read today's Bible passage? One person described in those verses did many good deeds. The other asked for God's mercy. Jesus said the one who asked for mercy was saved, not the one who thought he was good enough because of the good things he did. So which one are you? Admit your sin and trust in Jesus today. For more information about what it means to trust in Jesus, go to keysforkids.org/salvation. Our key verse is found in Romans chapter 3, verse 23.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
And our key thought, sin cannot enter heaven. If you ever have a question about God, you can send it to me and I'll do my best to answer right away. Plus, your question could be featured in the next Keys for Kids print devotional. Send your questions to keysforkids.org/heyzach. I'm Zach. We'll see you next time on Keys for Kids.
It's time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
I hate it when my parents fight, and they fight all the time. I just want my family to be happy.
If you get scared because your parents aren't getting along, remember, God is right there with you. I'm Zach, and you're tuned in to Keys for Kids. Maybe you live in a home where the grown-ups tend to yell and argue a lot. That can be pretty scary. You might feel all alone, or you might even feel like you're to blame. Just remember, it's never your fault when your parents fight. One thing to remember is that no matter what happens on this earth, you can always count on God. He has promised in his word that he will never leave you or forsake you. That's written in Hebrews 13:5. Look it up and memorize it so that whenever you're afraid, you can remember you're not alone. Our story today is called Under His Wings. Martha jumped off the school bus and sprinted through the rain to the front door of her house. But as soon as she opened the door, she wished she could get back on the bus. Angry voices filled the air. Martha clenched her jaw at the sound of her parents fighting again. After dropping her backpack in the hallway, Martha ran back out the door. They're yelling even louder than usual, she thought. Why do they always fight? Martha ran across the yard to the chicken coop and slipped inside to stay out of the rain. Tears trickled down her cheeks as she sat huddled on a pile of hay. Although Martha could no longer hear her parents' angry words, their yelling echoed louder and louder in her heart until she shook with great sobs. I wish they wouldn't fight, Martha thought as she took a deep breath. She felt so alone. She just wanted her family to be happy. Home never felt peaceful when her parents weren't getting along. Martha gazed over at the hens as they sat on their nests. Tiny peeping sounds chirped from the hay on the other side of the coop. One hen had recently hatched several chicks, and Martha saw small bits of yellow fluff peeking out from under the mother hen's wings. She knew the hen's wings were keeping the tiny chicks warm in the chilly weather. As she watched the chicks, Martha remembered a Bible verse she had memorized in her class at church. Under his wings you will find refuge. Her teacher had explained that it compared God to a mother bird, but God's care was far better. Dear Jesus, I feel all alone, Martha prayed. When Mom and Dad fight, it hurts me inside. I'm glad I can turn to you when I'm sad. I know you promised to never leave your children. Thank you for being with me all the time, no matter what happens. Help me feel safe under your wings, even when my family is unhappy. Martha began to feel peace as she remembered God's promises of faithfulness and love. She knew she would never be alone. So how about you? Do your parents or others in your family fight and argue? Do you ever feel like no one knows what you're going through? Well, Jesus knows, and he cares. He wants you to come to him for help, like those chicks hiding under their mother's wings. Tell him how you feel, and memorize Bible verses that remind you of his love and faithfulness. Find an adult you can share your concerns with, and always remember that Jesus will never leave you all alone. Our key verse today is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5.
Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you.
And our key thought today, take refuge in Jesus. I'm Zach, and this is Keys for Kids.
Now presenting Wednesday's Daily Devotional.
I'm too scared to walk across the log. What if I fall and the rope doesn't catch me?
You have to have faith that the rope will protect you, just like you have faith in God. Have you ever been to a high ropes course? It's a ton of fun, and it's what our story's about right here on Keys for Kids. You know, about a month ago, I went on a high ropes course with some friends, and before we even started, we had to be clipped into a safety rope. That way, if we slipped and fell, the rope would catch us. Is God your safety rope? What I mean is, when you have to do something scary, do you trust him to take care of you? If not, listen to one of my favorite Bible verses found in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "Do not be afraid. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Our story today is called The Safety Rope. Gabriella's heart pounded as she looked down at her brother. He looked very small from her perch among the treetops. "You can do it," he called up to her. "Easy for you to say, Adrian. You're not standing on a log 30 feet in the air." It was her first time on the high ropes course at her church retreat, and she was supposed to walk across the log like a balance beam. Gabriella looked at her father below. "Are you sure the rope will catch me if I fall?" "Absolutely," Dad said. Gabriella tugged one more time on the safety rope attached to the body harness she wore. She tensed, getting ready to take the first step. "You can do it," she told herself. "If you fall, the rope will catch you. Just walk out there." She took a deep breath and inched out onto the log. First one tiny step, then another, and another, and soon she was all the way across. "Great job," Dad called. "Now I'll lower you to the ground." "You're sure the rope will hold me?" Gabriella asked. "Yes, trust me," Dad called back. "Just lean out a little, and you'll feel it start to pick you up." Gabriella did as directed, and she gasped with relief when she felt her harness tighten around her waist. She let her feet leave the platform and slowly descended to the ground. "Was that fun?" Adrian asked as Dad unclipped the rope from Gabriella's harness. "Yeah, I was so scared up there, though. I knew the rope was attached to me, but I couldn't feel it. I felt a lot safer after I was off the log and the rope caught me." "You know," Dad said, "the rope wasn't holding you only when you felt it. It was holding you the entire time." He smiled. "That makes me think of Jesus." "You mean because sometimes when life is tough, it feels like he's not even there?" Gabriella asked. Dad nodded. "But whether it feels like it or not, Jesus is with us all the time, holding us up and taking care of us. He saved us, and he won't ever let go of us." "So, will you go up and walk the log again?" Adrian asked. Gabriella smiled. "Yeah, I'll do it again." So how about you? Are there times in your life when you don't feel like God is with you? When tough things happen or it seems like God isn't answering your prayers, do you start to wonder if he even cares? If you know Jesus as your Savior, he will never, ever leave you. He gave his word that he'll always be with you. So instead of relying on your feelings, trust him. Even if it doesn't feel like he's there, he's still taking care of you. Our key verse is found in the Old Testament book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9. It says,
"Do not be afraid. Your Lord your God is with you wherever you go."
And our key thought for the day, Jesus is always with you. I'm Zach, and this is Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
I need to win the three-legged race to get a gold star. But Nick is my partner. He's gonna make us lose.
Or maybe you could help him win. It just depends on how you look at it. Hi, I'm Zach, and you're tuned in to the one and only Keys for Kids. Thanks for joining me today. Have you ever been picked last for a team? I sure have. It's a terrible feeling. Remember, everyone has certain gifts, but they may not be at sports. If you have the chance, consider how others feel when it comes time to team up with them. Don't think they'll make you worse. Think about how you can make them better. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing." Our story today is called Real Winners. Counselor Gary stood in front of a large group of Wiggly campers. "Have you had a good time at camp this week?" he hollered. "Yes," the campers yelled back. Braden's voice was a little louder than the others. This was his first time at church camp, and he'd had a blast. "Today is our last day of competitions," Counselor Gary continued. "As you know, those of you with a gold star in any category will receive a special award at tonight's service when your parents are here. So do your best and have fun." Braden nodded. He just needed to win one more event to get a gold star. "You'll work with a buddy this afternoon, and I've posted the list showing your event and your buddy," said Counselor Gary, pointing to a bulletin board. The group was dismissed, and Braden went to look at the list. "Oh, no," he groaned. He went to his counselor. "I need to win one more sporting event, but I'm paired with Nick for the three-legged race," Braden told him. "He hasn't won a single event all week. Can't I be with someone else? He's going to make me lose." "Or maybe you'll help him win for a change," Counselor Gary said. "Remember what we talked about in chapel yesterday? All people who trust in Jesus are God's children. We need to support one another and help each other out. I think we can apply that principle to sports, too, don't you?" Braden sighed. "Okay," he said. That afternoon, when the boys were at the starting line, Braden grinned at his buddy. "We can do this," he said. "Just keep your arm around me like this so we can move our tied legs like one, okay?" Nick nodded, looking more confident than he'd been all week. The race began, and the two tried their best. Braden's heart sank when they came in second. Then he heard Nick yell, "Oh, man, we're second! I've never done so good in my life! Thanks, Braden. I couldn't have done it without you." That night, when Braden heard Nick excitedly tell his parents about the race, he felt like a real winner, even though he didn't receive the prize he'd hoped for. So how about you? Have you ever left other kids out of a game because you thought they would slow you down? Do you get annoyed when others can't do things that come easily to you? We all have different abilities, but they're not just for our own benefit. We need to use them to help others who are struggling and encourage them, especially other Christians. So who could you offer encouragement to? You might find they can encourage you too. Our key verse is found in the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11.
"So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing."
And our key thought for the day, help other Christians. I'm Zach, and this is Keys for Kids.
Get ready for Friday's Daily Devotional.
Salt is really important for cooking and for making sure food doesn't spoil. Christians should be salty too.
I agree, but what does it mean to be a salty Christian? Hi, I'm Zach. Do you like to put salt on your food? Find out why we're supposed to be like salt too, right here on Keys for Kids. Did you know that Christians are supposed to be like salt? It's true. In Matthew 5:13, Jesus said that we should be the salt of the earth. What he meant is, just like salt makes things taste better, Christians should share the gospel so that the world is better. After all, the more people that know Jesus as their Savior, the better the world will be. Our story today is called Sodium Chloride of the Earth. James pulled out his chair and sat down, a smile playing on the corners of his mouth. He waited patiently as his dad offered a prayer of thanks and the food was passed around. Then James spoke up. "Please pass the sodium chloride," he said as seriously as he could manage. "Pass what?" Dad laughed. "I know what you're talking about, but why did you use that term?" James laughed too. "We had a lesson on salt today, and I thought I'd ask for it by another name." "If you were trying to impress us," said Mom, "you did. At least I'm impressed." "Salt's important," James informed them. "It's used for lots of things." "Well, I know it's important in cooking," said Mom. "Salt is used to flavor food and also to keep it from spoiling." "Did you know that sodium chloride is mentioned in the Bible?" asked Dad. "Yeah, Dad, but not by that name," said James. "It's just called plain old salt." Dad chuckled. "I'm sure you know the verse that says Christians are the salt of the earth. They help flavor things that happen in our world. Unless," he stopped and looked at James, "do you know what would keep them from doing that?" I think the verse says they can lose their flavor, right?" James asked. Dad nodded. "Any ideas how that might happen?" "How Christians lose their saltiness?" James shrugged. "I'm not sure." "Well, think of it this way," said Mom. "What does it mean when it says Christians flavor the earth?" "Well, I guess we do that by helping people and being kind and loving," said James, "and by telling them about Jesus." "Right," said Mom. "When we share the love, grace, and truth of Jesus, we bring flavor to a bland world. We give people a taste of the salvation and hope he offers them." "So I guess we'd lose our saltiness if we stopped doing those things and only thought of ourselves, right?" asked James. Dad nodded. "As the sodium chloride of the earth, we need to flavor people's lives with the love of Jesus." He sprinkled some salt on his potatoes and took a bite. "Mmm," he said. "Now that's good." So what about you? Are you sharing the flavor of God's love with the world? Is it evident in the way you treat others? Do your actions show that you follow Jesus? Do you tell others about him so they can know him too? Jesus didn't say you could be like salt if you wanted to be. He said you are the salt of the earth. Make sure your life reflects his love so others can know how good he is. Our key verse is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13.
You are the salt of the earth.
And our key thought for the day, be a salty Christian.
Hey Zach, how do I know if I really believe in Jesus?
Now the answer is found in the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. This is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. See, if you love Jesus, then you will want to do your best to please him. Just remember this, though. Doing good things doesn't make you a Christian. Doing good things is proof that we are Christians. I hope that helps. As always, my name is Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Did you enjoy doing the daily devotionals? I hope that this experience doesn't stop here, but that you continue to learn about Jesus' teachings by reading the Bible, praying to Jesus, and praising Him throughout the week. Well then, I'll catch you all next week. Remember, God loves you very much.